Yeehaw! Yes, Riding Cowboy. Look at that. We have a cowboy with us as well. Yes. It is Thursday. It is 9. So, of course, UK Cowboys time. Now, we're all a little jet lagged, but how are we doing, fellas?
Yeah, great. Yourself?
Jet lagged. Yeah, tired.
Yeah, a little bit tired. I've had an extra day to relax a little bit because I had problems with the boiler when I got back.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. So, but the voice is coming back, you know, after almost losing it this time last week when we were getting section 421 up and rowdy in the stands. So.
yeah, there was all that going on. So, I mean, because obviously we had a comment already about the days of the week. Yeah, we are all over the shop. So we're going to roll both shows this week. So the post-game show for Thanksgiving and this week's pre-game show, we'll do all tonight. So we'll rip through it. Means we'll have to cut some bits out. So we'll cut the fantasy football side of it out. I know that's controversial, guys. I'm sorry. But we'll just try and get through this as quick as we can, as easy as we can, and get through this. And obviously, we will put this on the show because it's the post-game show on Spotify and everything else. But because it's the pre-game show on here as well, if you're listening to this after the game is finished, it's kind of irrelevant, so you can kind of skip that bit. just giving everyone an introductory warning if you're listening on there. But all right then, guys. So we'll start off from the very beginning, which was last week's game, Thanksgiving. And obviously, we was in attendance there. So we will get to some of the. Well, I'll ask you some questions about that first. But let's get into the game, and then we'll go through the experience of being out there.
Yeah.
So the Cowboys won. A big, emphatic home victory again. The Cowboys so far have trailed for 0 seconds this season at AT&T Stadium. I know what people will say. They will turn around and say, "Oh yeah, but look at the teams you played." Okay, fair enough. But as they always say, good teams find a way to win. Great teams find a way to blow the score out the water, which they have done, right?
Mm. Yeah.
So let's first of all talk about how the offense played. Now, I don't know what you guys think, but for me at the start of the game, the offense, it was okay. There was nothing, it wasn't like there was much going wrong, but it just seemed to be there was moments where they kind of was a little offbeat, where there was a moment where you kind of like, oh dear, ah, there he is, look. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're home safe, Chris. Chris, by the way, put on a massive barbecue for us on the first night. Pretty much set the tone for the holiday as well.
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
drinking beers and cocktails and all the rest of it. So big thank you to Chris, by the way. Has himself a man cave, apart from the Michigan side of it all, which is what one half of it is. It's a lovely place to go. So just talking about the offense. Just seemed to be like there was something that was like you. It was like as if they were off slightly, just off a beat, which was a little. But then, in typical Dallas Cowboys fashion, they smelt blood in the water and then they attacked. But what's your guys' feelings on how the offense played last week? First of all,
yeah, I think you've nailed it there, and I think we've seen that with every game actually, particularly at home that. You know, the first couple of drives, it's a sort of getting into the sort of rhythm, finding your feet, seeing what's working, and then they hit the ground running, and all hell breaks loose for the opposition. excuse me. Yep. You know, and as I say, I mean, or as you say, we've never trailed at home at all this season. You know, and yeah, it's against inferior competition, but you know, you can't go into each week and say, right, this week I'm going to play so and so. You've got to play the teams that are on your schedule. And in previous years, we probably would have played around and played down to the level that these teams were coming in at and been lucky if we'd escaped with our lives. Mm-hmm. But this time around, you know, we are actually doing what you're meant to do and putting these teams to the sword early and big style. So,
yeah,
Absolutely. And in other games, in less just games, that allowed us to rest some of our big hitters, which has kept us through this middle stretch of the season where we have seen injuries that have knocked us off our game. Absolutely agree with all of that. You know, Cowboys before have played down, and I mean, the Cardinals are arguably a worse team than us, and we showed what we did do. Washington aren't a bad team. Washington, you know, held Eagles close. Washington have the potential to push the tempo and to push the ball down the field. So, yeah, we started slow. I thought it would be close in the first half. I thought it would take a while to get going, as we've seen in the other games. But it was impressive how we kept making the plays. Our drives didn't really stall. They just weren't as explosive as they were in the second half. So, yeah, good offensive game throughout. It just kept getting better.
All right. Let's talk about Dak, right? And we'll talk about Dak for this week, tonight, this morning's game, whatever you want to say, in a moment as well, when we go on about that. Let's talk about his accuracy right now. I think for me, I forgot to post it up, and I wanted to post it purely for what it was. The Dak made one of the most difficult passes you will ever see a quarterback have to make. It's straight across the middle. It's in between two defenders to Jake Ferguson. Now, the catch is it has to be exactly where it landed. And I don't think people actually made note of how big of a play, how big of a pass it was. It's just, it looks on paper a very, very simple pass. But I think if you actually go back and you watch it, you will see a man or a pass that it has to be pinpoint. He makes the throw. Ferguson on the other side makes the catch, which is just as important, because you could talk about consistency issues with Ferguson. Makes the catch. But what this shows for me is what level Dak is now at. Like, you could argue about the, you know, what teams the Cowboys are playing, but they've still got to make plays, and he had to make plays like that. And I think that is a big highlight. Dak, at the moment, he ranks fifth in the rankings for MVP this season. Do we think he's going to get it, or Offensive Player of the Year? Or what does he need to do to get to the next level, guys?
I don't think he's going to get it. I think there's just a sort of... people have already made their minds up about Dak. And he is very good, and he is playing at elite at the moment. Can he sustain it? I mean, we've got some tough defenses ahead that will probably slow down some of the stat lines, allow people to say, yeah, but what about someone else? But for me, he is playing elite. There is not a quarterback in the league right now I would have over him. And he is running this offense exactly how it should, using all the options, being elusive, being able to make those absolute pinpoint plays, like you said. Yeah, there is no one I would rather have right now. And for me, that's the MVP for this part of the season.
Yeah, I think in order for him to get it, if he carries on like this against Philadelphia, Seattle tonight, Buffalo, Miami, whatever, if he carries on at this rate, then yes, there's a possibility of him getting it, especially with the way that Pat Mahomes, his receivers are dropping balls left, right, and centre. But you know, if he plays down or if the defenses can take advantage of errors, and he does throw the odd errant pass. I mean, you had where he tried to hit Tolbert, and the trailing defender actually bounced
almost
up in the air.
Got it.
Thankfully, Jalen Brooks was right in the nice area to snag it and get an extra 5 yards as well. That just goes to show that, you know, you can be as crisp with absolutely everything as you want, but it takes a little bit of luck as well. And thankfully, at the moment, the luck is going our way. If it carries on like that, then yeah, I see him being in the conversation. Again, it comes down to whether national media are going to pick up on it or not, and you know what the national media is like. So,
yeah,
we had multiple conversations about that in the last week. So,
Yeah, yeah. Plenty of times. Been on plenty of shows talking about that subject, that's for sure. Yep. Especially when you look at the comments made about Dak being a father. Like, why are we bringing this up? You know, I put it in a tweet today about how embarrassing it is that, you know, these sports analysts have to bring up the fact that Dak's having a child to just make notoriety for themselves. It's just, I just find it weak, personally. So it's a weak way to have to do things. But there we go. That's where we live in. But yeah, so Tony Pollard had a really big night last week. What we've seen in the last 3 weeks, progressively getting better, better yards per carry. Doesn't seem to be gassing out. There seems to be an understanding as well what they've expected of Tony Pollard and what Rico Dowdle's role is as well. In the Thanksgiving game, we only seen Rico Dowdle a handful of times. I think he made like one first down. But this was a kind of game where you wanted to use explosive plays. You needed chunk plays and you also needed speed around the edge. And that worked. Seeing Tony Pollard go on is a big plus because we're really going to need the running game when we get into playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, we can leave that there. But let's talk, though, in terms of offensive line.
There's one thing I want to say about Pollard as well. And this hasn't really been picked up by a lot of people, but you saw him doing almost as good a job at pass protection and blitz pickup as Zeke Elliott in his prime. There were a couple of plays last week where a defender was running free. Tony Pollard threw himself in there, and the defender was stonewalled. Yeah. And you know that was almost like vintage Zeke there. You know, and I went back to double check that I wasn't just seeing things through my frozen margarita.
What year am I watching this?
No, but it is right, because I went back and I checked the statistic, you know, for writing the article. But Pollard went in, I think, on 9 pass blocks and didn't allow a single pressure. And that's important as well. You know, that's a major thing that we're going to need as things go on. But continuing with the pass blocking, let's talk about the pass blocking from the offensive line. 3 games now without a single sack.
That's amazing. Considering earlier in the year, that was a question that kept coming up. The fact it has solidified and we've kept being able to keep the health of our newer and more experienced players, that's really impressive and bodes well.
And I mean, you know, we've seen Terrence Steele bounce back from a subpar game a couple of weeks ago. You know, his run blocking's back up there, and part of the reason as well is that, you know, the running game is actually starting to work effectively, so that you're then not forced into passing situations. You can pass willy nilly as you need to, and that way you're not actually tipping your hat that you're going into a passing play, which then plays to your offensive line. But these guys are actually standing up. You know, and standing up the rushers, and you know what, even though Washington have given away to their prized defensive linemen before the trade deadline, they've still got a couple of first rounders. They've still got you know, serviceable guys. They're just not performing well, and you know, our guys are taking advantage of that. So
No, I agree. And another good part with it as well is Hunter Lipke. He's taken on that traditional fullback role very well. You know, like when they've asked him to do, you know, he's not in for many plays, but when he's asked to come in and do what he's needed to do, he's done exactly what's on the tin, you know. So you can't really complain about what he's doing at the moment. There's that side. The run blocking, as you say, has gotten better. What would you say, though, guys, at the moment is the weakness of the offense?
I think still, you know, tight ends is a big weakness. Outside of Jake Ferguson, Jake Ferguson only had one catch there. Schoonmaker is hot and cold at the moment. He's making catches. He's dropping easy balls. You know, and that's a little bit concerning. But you know, they are doing the job on the run, on the running game. It's just, you know, there's drives that could be so much more efficient and effective if these passes weren't dropped. And it's not like they're catching them contested catches. It's almost like, oh my God, I've got so much space around me, you know, I better not drop this. And then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that you actually do drop it. So
And agree with that. Like, I mean, Schoonmaker's upped his game a little, but like to keep seeing that progressing. But for me, it's the run game still. It's Dowdle is coming along, and as we said, helped by the O-line. I just like to, we haven't recently been in a situation where we've had to close out the game and clock management and assert our will through the running game. Those games are likely to come in the next month or so. I'd like to see Pollard and Dowdle just keep punching, keep punching, keep punching, take the pressure off of that, and win a game through that way rather than either smash them or be trying to desperately hold on.
I would say, yeah, it is still the running game. More in terms of that, although it's gotten better the last 3 weeks, is what I've said. I'm with you that although it's better, it still hasn't been fully tested, where you're just kind of like, we've had to rely on the running game. We haven't had to rely on Tony Pollard and the offensive line to run block up front in order for us to get the win. Until you see that, you can't completely lean into the run game and say, oh, that's what we are. But what we can lean on is the Cowboys' defense. So let's start with the very top thing. Deron Bland, pick six to end the game. How was that for you guys?
I couldn't describe it on this show fully due to the rating of this show, probably. But it was
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly, you know, if it's not the best moment of the week, you know, it ranks right up there with Craig seeking out the US cheerleaders at meet and greet. So, I think our section certainly went absolutely mental when you saw the pick and you saw him have the clear run in, and then it was like, can he do it? And just the juke that he put on Sam Howell and the two other guys that were trying to tackle him as well to get into the end zone. You know, he just wasn't going to be denied. As soon as he got the ball, it wasn't to be denied. And again, you know, there was another couple of pick sixes that could have been had. Marquise Bell could have had one as well, and, you know, just got his hands on, didn't get his hands on it correctly. But, you know, Sam Howell was putting a few of them out there. But
the way
Bland is doing it, because he's almost playing a bit of rope-a-dope, because it's...
Yeah, he's taking his chances too.
Coming at it from 2 yards out and, you know, making the catch that way. And just the fact that there's only 13 players ahead of him in the league that have as many receiving touchdowns as he has interception with touchdowns. I mean, that's just incredible. And as I say, I think... You know, there's a good possibility. I'm going for 8 for the season.
I like it. But, I mean, like, you look, 6 games left to play. He's averaging 1 pick 6 every 2 games. I mean, you would expect, you know, at least one more. You know, and that would just be the cherry on top of what is already a crazy season.
Yeah, well, we've got Sam Howell again. Tua's gotten better, but can be a bit loose with the ball. Hurts. Mm-hmm. His accuracy isn't up there. That's one of the things that doesn't scream it's MVP true. For me. Can't think of who else we've got.
You got Geno Smith tonight.
Yeah.
And last week, Geno, I mean, we'll talk about that in a moment, but Geno last week against the 49ers, no touchdowns, 1 interception.
Yeah.
Yep.
So definitely, I think that there's more to come from him, and can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I mean, just so you're aware, so we've got context on this. Deron Bland, pick 6 in last week's game, beat the NFL single-season record for most returned interceptions for a touchdown. He's now on five. No, six. Five.
Five. He's got six interceptions, I think, but he's got five returned for a touchdown.
We've had this argument on a show the other week, last week. So, yeah. So he could actually get another one. So, yeah. And I mean, like Lorne and Craig said, we were at the stadium when this happened. We made sure that our section became the loudest section at that moment. But honestly, there was beer and drinks. I mean, it was just raining down. I've never heard a stadium be that loud. It must have reached 140 decibels. Somewhere. I mean, it was loud. It went on for ages too. But an insane record. Jumps into the red kettle, which was something we predicted on another show, and Paul predicted on another show as well. So we said he was going to jump in the red kettle, and he did, and pulled out the turkey leg. So, so it was fantastic to watch. But that's not to go away from how the Cowboys' defense played against Washington last week as well. Defensive line. So first of all, Jonathan Hankins had himself probably the best game he's ever played for Cowboys, led the team in tackles for a loss and sacks. Yeah. So there's that to be had. But the rest of the defensive line just played an incredible game. They were all over that offensive line. They were bringing in all sorts of pressures and, you know, they were stunting in that game. I don't know if you noticed. I don't know what the rate is, but it was an incredible amount. That all helped the linebackers behind them. I know Marquise Bell had the scare where he was helped off the field for a while. That was scary. And we'll talk about the linebacker core in the next part. But I think the way the whole system is working for how the defensive backs are playing as well, all boils down to what's going on in the trenches. Micah Parsons has had a big game as well, right behind Hankins in pressures and sacks. He's actually, I think, among defensive linemen, he's now third in tackles for a loss, which you would think, you know, you've got, and to me, like, I don't think tackles for a loss is given as much notoriety as it should. To me, a tackle for a loss is a sack, is equivalent to a sack, but in the running game.
Yeah.
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 And I mean, it helps because it actually forces, you know, if it's like third and one or something like that, it kills a drive there. Mm. If it's first or second down, it puts you almost into a passing situation for the next down. So it really is a big... it really has a big effect on the effectiveness of the offense. So anytime you make a negative direction play for that offense, that you know, that just makes it all the better for you guys. So it really is an underrated stat.
And he's doing it whilst getting most of the attention and the double teams and a lot of holds and so on, but that's a different
thing.
And he's still the most disruptive person in the backfield, either for himself or on part of the team. He's just a complete difference maker. It's brilliant.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the whole thing about, because there's now like an entire statistic, I don't know if you've seen it, about average holding calls, of officiating crews on what their average holding calls are, and then when they've played the Cowboys, and it's like, how is there just such a massive difference? So, I mean, I'm going to go through the numbers and do a little post or an article on it over the weekend if I get some time, just to see how much difference there really is, because it is unusual. But all of that led to a fantastic Cowboys game. Brandon Aubrey as well stays perfect. Missed the extra spot point, but made the field goal. So I made a comment on one show last weekend that I know, obviously, we got CJ Stroud going on this insane rookie season for a quarterback. And, you know, offensive rookie of the year always goes to the quarterback. But let's say if he just starts to stall now, he hits the rookie wall, and Brandon Aubrey continues to stay perfect on the season, could he then win offensive rookie of the year?
I certainly think it's possible. I mean, you know, nobody's ever done it. There is one kicker in history that has ever been NFL MVP, and that was in the strike season of 82, and that was Mark Mosley, the Washington Redskins kicker. And he actually, he got it twice over. There was two, that was back in the days where there was about four or five different poles. Yeah. And he got it in two of those poles. Mm. Certainly, Aubrey is showing incredible accuracy. Fair enough, he's not doing too well on the extra points. He's missed his third one this season. But when you're talking about needing 3 points, he's touch wood, he's automatic at the moment. Mm. So
yeah.
And long may it continue.
Yeah. I think the only thing that's holding him back is the fact that it's not difference makers. It's not Tucker up in Baltimore, who is so often relied on them being Mr. Automatic and clinching a game. I think this year Aubrey is, but it's not clinching the game, so it's getting less attention. So that's probably the thing that's holding him back more than most.
Yeah. And here's one as well we talked about as well. I think on a different show was Deron Bland, defensive player of the year. And I think it's kind of like, it's a done deal at this stage. So when you break an NFL record, no matter what it is, as soon as you break it, it all bets are off. It's done. Like, it doesn't matter what your sack count is. It doesn't matter what your tackle count is. Doesn't matter what pressure rate was. I think once whatever record it is you've broken as a defender, what more can you do? Do you know what I mean? I think too much is predicated on just what's, you know, like defensive player of the year always goes to the player who's had the most sacks. And I just think there's more to it than, you know, I find it a lazy way to do it. But, you know, let's say for argument's sake, Deron Bland gets another pick six, then it's done. You really can't. There is no argument here, you know? But I seriously think even at this stage, you've broken an NFL record. It's not an easy record to break either, right? Mm. You know, when you think of a pick six, what is involved in all of that to score a touchdown as a defender off, you know, from kind of, there is a lot of moving past that. Now, you can argue maybe one or two of those. Like, I certainly, the one against the Giants where the ball just sort of coughed and bobbled up and Deron Bland was just in the right place at the right time, catches the ball and he's gone. Yeah. But you could also argue that in terms of like a handful of sacks players have had for the season. Like, it would just happen that the running back run into the player and it was marked as a sack. So I just think that at this stage, yeah, you can't argue that what he's done puts him in the defensive player of the year in the top spot, and it's just up to everybody else to do something else incredible to pass that. But I can't see what.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think unless somebody breaks Strahan's record of, well, official record, because we all know Harvey Martin actually owns the record for sacks, but if somebody breaks Strahan's record, then that's the only way they're probably going to get past Deron Bland. But having said that, I mean, if Bland goes out and has another couple of pick sixes like I'm predicting, then, you know, that's certainly, the main thing is he is now on the watch list as far as the bookies are concerned. They're offering odds on him as a serious contender for it. I think at the beginning of the season, if you'd gone Deron Bland, you would have got 3,000 to 1 or something like that. Now it's something like only 30 to 1 or something. And it's coming down each and every week he gets an interception at least. But that's the only way it's going to be, is if somebody breaks the sack record. I think there still is the overemphasis on the sacks, and I don't think there should be, because not only does an interception stop an offensive drive, stop them scoring points. If you return it for a touchdown, you're actually putting points on your board as well. So you are proving that you are the most valuable defensive player, you know, because you're actually putting points on for your defense.
Exactly.
A sack doesn't. And I think also one thing that has been overlooked is the timing. I mean, start of the year, offenses are still trying to work it out, and you maybe not have enough tape on defenders, particularly people like Bland, who've had to come up and step into injury roles. The fact all of this is occurring in October and November really means that they know this is happening, and Bland is still able to make those impactful plays. So for me, that means more than if this was just a September spike.
Yeah, exactly. Now we're into the meat and potatoes, if you like, of the season, where we're trying to get to playoffs. And, you know, you've seen it last week, too, against the Commanders, that they started giving Gilmore a little bit of help on his side. And we can't overshadow either how well Gilmore's playing. It's not perfect. He's long in the tooth, right? That is for definite.
Yeah.
But when you look at what Gilmore's doing on his side and how they kind of gave him a little help, he was bracketed a little bit extra over that side, they're kind of almost daring and forcing teams now to throw that way. They're just like going, Deron Bland, he's all on his own, just go for it, he's isolated, let's see what happens. And they're almost forcing the hand and going, you're gonna have to throw it that way. And so that's why I think it's you know, the Cowboys are playing on that now. They're playing on the fact that Deron Bland catches so many interceptions. He's also making a lot of pass breakups. He's not allowing guys free release or to get too much separation from him. And then there's the pick six issue. So I just think, you know, they're going to dare to go that way, and which is what they did with the Commanders. And that is going to be ultimately, when you see that, you just go, that's a defensive player of the year. That you're daring a team to send the ball to make the game go that way. Done deal.
Yep.
You know, for me it is. But let's go then, and we'll move on to this week's game so we can try and rip through this. So let's finish off, guys, with what you thought of Dallas, the events that were put on over there, and what the whole game day package was like. How did you find it all?
We say every week that literally Barry and Cowboys Experience treat you like royalty, and by God, did they treat you like royalty. I mean, everything that we did from the minute we touched down, it wasn't just the stuff Barry did, but Barry's stuff was above and beyond. I can't put enough praise on the whole experience from that point of view. The whole week in general, everybody that we met, everybody that we tailgated with. I mean, we lost Jamie at one point because everybody wanted a picture of it. But everybody wanted a picture of him with the flag and everything like that. And then, you know, we were VIP guests at Dez Bryant's tailgate. You put the hat on Dez, and you were only hoping that he'd wear it for a photograph, and he ended up wearing it for best part of three quarters of an hour, I think, while he was doing interviews with everybody. Craig, you got him to sign the ball for your son. The amount of time he gave out to all of us was just brilliant. And then, you know, the tour of the Star, the tour of the AT&T, all the other activities that Barry put on for us.
Hop and sting, hard eight.
Yeah, hop and sting. I mean, my liver is going to take about 6 weeks to recover, but it was certainly well worth it. So.
Yeah. And of course, we made it on TV and we made it on the big screen, hanging in Jerry World Vision, whatever they call it, the big TV. We're all on there as well.
Yep.
Yeah, everything Lorne said. We were at the VIP tailgate, but we were treated like VIPs the whole time. I mean, this is something I've wanted to do, to go over there for, 20 plus years. And this, every day, every bit was just so much beyond what I'd hoped for. It was fantastic. The welcome, the friendliness, the activities, the Barry and his team, everything they put together, the group we went out with, just blew my mind. I'm still annoyed that I'm not out there now.
Yeah, well, Jamie's on his way back. We had comments where everybody else is. Some people are resting, some people are traveling back. Paul is staying out for the Seahawks game today, then he's coming back. So it was a lot of fun, and we had a lot of messages while we're out there about if we're ever to do it again. And we're not officially going to announce anything, but take that as you will, but there will be another one coming up. So keep an eye out. We have to go through a lot of plans and details. I haven't gone through it all just yet, but we will be going back. So there will be another UK Cowboys Takeover Tour coming fairly soon, if you want to look at it that way. So it gives you time to prepare, save. But we'll make those comments on, and we'll probably do it in the off season, so you guys know exactly what's going on. We will be coming back, so don't worry. And we're going to make this one even bigger than the last one. So we'll put even more into, because when we're out there straight away, we come up with like a bazillion ideas to chuck into it all, and make that package even crazier and bigger. So we're going to throw that in. We will let you know.
There's one other point I want to make. Obviously, it's 25 years since the last time I'd been out there, and that was at the old Texas Stadium. Texas Stadium, there is a complete atmosphere change there. The old Texas Stadium, it was, you know, when they were trying to get you to make noise, it was very much, there was still a lot of corporate types there. You know, that sort of thing. This, we had that whole stadium rocking, and I mean, certainly our section. I mean, you were, I don't know if you remember, Mike, you were running up and basically 420, 421, you were getting them playing off against each other. And people were actually moving to our section to try and join in with us. We actually, the guy that was sat next to me, I mean, he fell asleep in the first quarter and then left. And I think that was because we'd already started the noise going. So, and the cowbells that we had as well. I mean, that was contributing to it. So you got a free hot dog out of it, and you know, the rest is history. So,
not the first time I've had a free hot dog at the game either. The last one was at the Eagles fan, but that's a different story. But but there we go. I mean, yeah. So it was a fantastic week, and guys, we will put some information up on the UK Cowboys side of it all, so you guys can get some information. And what we'll do is we'll get people who went on this event, you know, Craig, Lorne, we'll do with you guys as well, and we'll just get a take from you guys. So people who want to come to the next one, you don't have to believe what we're saying, just read what other people who went, what they thought, what they felt. Doesn't matter where you're from either. We have people from Germany there, Canada. So wherever you're coming from, we will make sure that you're taken care of. We'll make sure everybody's involved. And we do a number of shows and what have you with various people, and we'll get you to come along. So don't worry. Like I say, it's not going to be the last. When we announce it, we'll probably be once the season finished, because we've got to iron out some details about what we're going to do on the next one, because there's going to be a lot more added to it. There's a few things we want to add. So keep an eye out. And we'll keep that.
Some of us are going to get the brownie points as well. So that's going to take a bit of time for us.
I have a foolproof system going on with me. it seems to have worked when I came up with the comment. So, tick and box. So, all right, let's talk about this weekend's game then, guys. Against the Seattle Seahawks. Kicks off tonight, 1:15 in the morning. So that's Friday morning for those of you listening on the podcasts. Or if you're rewatching this. Is Craig in a hot tub?
Thanks for asking.
Yeah. It is pretty cold, I will say that. So yes, kick off a 1:15 in the morning here. So it is going to be on Sky Sports as well. So if you are staying up to watch it, then it's all there for you. I'm 50-50. Yeah. If you can't tell by my voice, I am really I am exhausted. Various stuff I've done. Articles and what have you kept me up the last couple of nights trying to cram like crap. But yes, they're playing the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks are on a bit of a run of losses. Cowboys are on a bit of a run of wins. Big one that I put on my reasons to be positive. The Cowboys haven't lost a game at home this season. On the road, the Seattle Seahawks have lost their last three. Another big one is... the moccasins, you haven't got your boots on, but
not today though.
Just so you know, we went to a proper ranchers. As you can see, Lauren's wearing the cowboy hat, but we got the boots, aftershaves, it was all good, belt buckles, we were all going on in there. But so as well, big one, in the last four games, Geno Smith has thrown the same number of touchdowns as he has interceptions. Yeah, talking of Deron Bland. But as we kind of start the show, which we're not, but we start the next pre-game show, whatever you want to call it in this show, I always ask the same question. That is really confusing. what's your thoughts and feelings on tonight's game or this morning's game?
I think last week looked great for us and was a struggle for them, you know, different opponents, whatever. But both on a short week. I think it's going to be a different caliber once with a full week to prepare. I'm hopeful. I think that we have a lot of the pieces working.
God.
That's completely thrown me off. What was I saying?
Thoughts and feelings.
Yeah. I think... I'm hopeful. I think it'll be closer for longer, but I think that the breaks will go our way, whether it's a Bland, whether it's Dak makes something special, strip sack from Parsons. I think it's going to get to a point and then just snap our way. And then so the score at the end won't match the flow of the game.
Yeah, I'm certainly not predicting a 20-plus point game or win margin, but you know, I think this will be a lot closer than playing against the Commanders. But again, we have the record at home at the moment where we're under at home. What is it? That's 13 games last week, so this will be 14 on the line. The Seahawks are not traveling well at the moment. I think they're something like 0-3 or something like that on traveling games. So it bodes well for us, but we've seen at some points this season the Seahawks have been very hot and some weeks have been very cold. And, you know, where the criticism against us is that we're playing well against the teams we should beat, and then you go up and face the 49ers or the Eagles. this is going to be a team like that you know, there will be question marks, and if we can answer those question marks tonight, which I think we will, then we're back in the picture. And as Joe says, I think by half time, I mean we should have it in the bag. So,
yeah, because I mean, like in terms of the offense at the moment for the Seahawks is stalling fast. Or has stalled. Geno Smith is so. Some of it you can blame on Geno, that he is seeing his struggles. We're seeing a guy who's a backup quarterback showing why he's a backup quarterback. But what's also not helping him is his offensive line, giving up the fourth most pressures so far this season, and I believe fifth most sacks. So he's having his struggle from what's going on up front. But also there's other particular parts that seem to be falling apart on him. So the injuries at running back, so Kenneth Walker's injured. I'm not sure if he's going to play. Not even sure if he's
I think he's doubtful and hasn't practiced this week. So
yeah. So you're looking at a rookie running back to come in and try and help out you. So that's gonna struggle. That's gonna be the problem there. So then you've also got these other problems on the Seahawks offense, where Jackson Smith and Jigba hasn't done anything particularly wrong, but he hasn't been the guy he was expected to be the way he was coming out of Ohio State.
Yeah.
DK Metcalf hasn't scored a touchdown in the last three games. You know, and you've got issues with Noah Fant hasn't scored a touchdown this season either. So although there's these moving parts on the offense that sometimes come together, generally overall, they've had their problems. What the issue I see is that this offensive line is going up against the Cowboys defensive line that is feasting on the pass rush and is also second. They're allowing the second fewest passing yards on defense. So I just think when you look at the combination as well as the home record and everything, playing at home and all the rest of it, what do you guys feel? And it's DK Metcalf for me, but where is the offensive threat from Seattle coming from that we need to take care of, or the Dallas defense needs to take care of tonight?
Yeah, you're right. It's, you go.
No, well, I mean, I'm going to say that, you know, Kenneth Walker's injured, unlikely to play. They've only got 3 of 6 wide receivers available at the moment who haven't been on the injury list, and they're underperforming. DK Metcalf's probably your best bet, and you know we can certainly scheme to stop him. Their tight ends are banged up. Their right guard is out for this week. Yeah. The starting right guard, he's out.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a juggle on the offensive line. The right tackle is Jason Peters. We know we've obviously gone up against him for a year in practice, so you know his tendencies. You know what? Exactly. Equally, he knows what our guys are capable of doing. But it's a short week, so he's not able to communicate that to his team. I think the balance is in our favour. Certainly with this defense going against their offense, but you never can tell. The one thing we hope is that there's no complacency on our squad, and I think we've got the leadership that that's not going to be a case.
Yeah,
I agree with all of that. I think if we were putting up the stats that you were saying, Mike, and if we were suffering the injuries that you were saying, Warren, people would, and Seattle's often talked about roughly in the same area as Cowboys, but everyone would be screaming about us misfiring. I think that there's just too much not clicking for them, not too many mishaps they've had. I think it'll be close, but yeah. Whereas last week against Howell, it was all about the secondary, all about the interceptions. That took a lot of the attention. I think this week it's going to be about Micah and friends feasting in the backfield.
Just so you know, go find Paul. He has it for you. I was actually meant to message. I gave him. So he's got one, and he's got the smaller one, which was for you, mate. He's out there somewhere. He's in the ether.
I think Chris is out of town this week, though. I think from certainly his Instagram post earlier today, I think he's up in Denver.
Paul will just have to do a drive-by flag throw-in then.
Yeah. we'll drop it out of the plane at 30,000 feet.
Yeah, flyby. There we go. Better, yeah. The big one, I think, for me, that is a bit, you know, the biggest positive on all of this as well, and you mentioned at the start of the show, Craig, was that the Cowboys, they're on this congested part of the season. This time of the year, they're always every year, they've got like 3 games in 11 days and all the rest of it. Yeah, it's a harsh piece of the season, but on the Cowboys injury report, full house, everybody's in, nobody's injured, everybody's practiced in full who was on the injury report to start the week. Huge for this game. And for what's going to be coming up next, you couldn't ask for a better piece of news and information that everybody is injury free. That's fantastic. So huge tick on the box on that one. But I think, yeah, the containment of Geno, you're going to be able to stop the run game with what they're doing at the moment. Marquise Bell is just, like some people have asked, do we need to go and draft a linebacker? Yeah, the answer is still yes, we've got to. But what Marquise Bell has done along with Damone Clark has certainly, it's taken the sting out of it. Because it was scary when LVE went down. You're kind of like, oof, now what are we going to do? Bell comes in, no beat has been missed. So that's the important one. As long as they can contain the two outside wide receivers, you know, I think Jackson Smith and Jigba, you've got enough there with what you've got to contain him. So Jordan Lewis is going to obviously do his part in that. So defensively, not so bad. The other way around, right? So on the Cowboys offense versus the Seahawks defense, the defense was the driving engine of the Seahawks machine and why they're on a winning record. But the last sort of 3 weeks or so, you've seen everybody really from Boye Mafe, who's been their top pass rusher. He hasn't really been that guy. He had a brilliant run in the middle of the season, but he's fallen off and hasn't registered a sack in the last two games. Devon Witherspoon obviously missed the start of the season. He's played okay, but now he's starting to see his problems. I'm looking at things happening on the defensive line where they're able to get enough, I believe, to establish the running game. Bearing in mind, the Seahawks are giving up the fourth most rushing touchdowns this season. Let's go back to Dak, right? I know we kind of said we come back here. What does Dak need to do in this game to continue this good run of games that he's on? What do we think he needs to do, or what is he capable of as well?
Just realize that he doesn't need to win the game. The team needs to win the game, and that's done by playing exactly the way he is, making the smart plays, realizing that he can check down, realizing he can escape and keep looking for options. Play smart, play error free, and keep the chains moving. That way, the crowd supports him, the team supports him, and opportunities will break his way.
Yep. I think Dak's doing at the moment, we've seen a resurgence in him using his feet to get 5 or 6 yards, to give up the sacrifice slide. But it's moving the ball down the field. It's not putting us in a situation where he's looking at a sack or he's having to throw the ball away or anything like that. And, you know, that's putting us in advantageous positions. And if he keeps it, it gives the defense another thing to contend with as well, where, you know, if you're a stand in the pocket guy, you don't have to be a Justin Fields running 70 yards down the field, Jalen Hurts, all that sort of stuff. And you can see that, you know, these guys are suffering because they are that type of guy. Mm-hmm. But if you can just get 20, 30 yards a game, that's enough that it puts it in the defensive head, and you know that gives them another thing to worry about, and that takes away a strength of their pass rush or whatever. Yeah. Again, Seattle, Leonard Williams, who they traded for recently, he's now questionable for this.
That's correct.
Ankle injury. So again, that's potentially, knowing how he'd like to get up against the Cowboys, because he's obviously an ex-Giant, by a hook or by crook, he probably will suit up tonight, but you know, he won't be as effective as he could have been. And again, we've got the experience of playing against him twice a year. I think as long as Dak doesn't put it on his own shoulders to try and win this game, as Craig says, I think if he can get the team to step up, and the team has stepped up in the last couple of weeks, then, you know, again, the balance is in our favour on facing this defence as well. So,
yeah, and I mean, they put their safety as well, Jarrett Reed, on IR last week as well.
Yeah, and Jamal Adams has been on. He's been on arrest this week as well. Yeah. They're saying it's non-injury related, but they have mentioned there's a knee there as well. So there maybe is something that it's not quite to the point where you're saying, yeah, there's potential of him being injured or anything, but you're just giving him rest to maintain the ability of him being able to play. So
here's a crazy start for you, Lorne. Jamal Adams leads the Seahawks in missed tackle rate.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's certainly not been worth the bounty that the Seahawks gave up for to the Jets. And the Jets have obviously, so far, they've not used that bounty to their best. But,
go on, sorry, Long. Keep going.
No, I'm just saying I don't think there's been a real winner in that trade, to be honest. So,
yeah. And when you look at what they paid for, they've certainly paid for what Jamal Adams was, not what he is. That's for definite. And that's quite ironic when you think how much people wanted Jamal Adams at Dallas, and Dallas just went, nope. And it looks like a smart move now. That's one particular side. The other part, I think they can be very easily beaten on. I think this is a good game for CeeDee Lamb coming up. And I know that's kind of like not really a hot take, but more I think that he's got the skills to be able to beat what the Seahawks do defensively. Dak doesn't have to worry so much about interceptions. They only the defense has only created, I believe, 4 interceptions as a team, which is one of the lowest in the league. So, you've got a bit of a free rein on what you can do with the ball in terms of the passing game. But their sacks and their pressure rate in the last few weeks has declined. And that's one of the reasons why, at the start of the season, they looked quite good. I thought they were going to be tallying a lot closer to the 49ers than what they are. But because things have just started to stagnate on offense and then the defense, which was really trying to hold on to what it could, I think my thoughts are is that the defense has done so much in the last few weeks to try and keep games close, they've gassed out.
Yeah. Yeah. You can only prop the other side of the ball up for so long. And, you know, the whole defense wins championships. Yeah, but offense has to do something. So unless you're using the defense to score points, which Seattle, not league leading on that one either. I think they are just worn thin.
Yeah. All right, then. You'll be going. We're ready, guys. It's the important question. If you're watching live or not, because we get a lot of comments afterwards, put in the comments what you believe this or tonight's score predictions are going to be. And don't try and be funny. And type in the comment tomorrow, the actual score. See who you are. We've had that a few times, right?
Just remember your comments are timestamped. So we know when you're cheating.
We've seen them. There's a few. There's a few people who've done it more than once. So, okay. Score predictions for tonight then, please, guys. I will let you inwardly digest that question for a moment, and I'll give you my score prediction. I've sent it in to our good friends over at Blogging the Boys, and I've said that tonight's score is going to be 31-17 to the Cowboys.
Mine was
again,
gonna be...
I'm not... Well, go on, Craig.
There you go.
Right, well, I'm not far off. I had 35-13.
I'm not far off. 31-20.
Okay. We had our first 40 burger come straight in. It's very possible. It's that sort of game where it could go that way. But yes, so that is it for tonight. We're not going to do the fantasy football side. We don't have the time. It takes up about half hour with that. And, you know, I'm going to try and catch at least 3 hours before the game starts, and I'm going to set my alarm. Hopefully, I wake up for the game. I'm supposed to be covering the game tonight. It may happen. Let's see what goes on there.
Yep.
the jet lag is still kicking until really like you're not going out to America because you're going backwards. You just need to have a late night and you're kind of like, oh, I'm not so bad now. But coming back, trying to get back into the swing of it is it's hard, especially with kids as well. And my pair have not stopped, as you can imagine. And the tree has gone up tonight, so I've had that to deal with. And when the Christmas tree goes up, it's like hellfire.
I had the joys on the flight back from Dallas. I had the joys of sitting next to a 49ers fan. He was actually quite intelligent because he now lives in Oregon, so we'll let him off with that. And then on the flight back, the flight up to Edinburgh, it was a Commanders fan who was sat next to me as well. So I was going through the intricacies of the game with both of them as well. So I think I had probably about 2.5 hours kip on the way back from Dallas and not a hell of a lot since. So.
Oh, yeah.
Changed my flight, so I had to go back via Philadelphia. And I mean, you can only scrub so much, but it's still on your skin. I mean,
but the good news is we're all back to normal now. All right, normal play will resume. So on Tuesday, Brian and the guys will be back on a post game show. Next Thursday, we might even have more people who've come back again from the States who will be back. So we might have more people. So it's all coming together. Plus, we're getting to the swing of Christmas, guys. It's the festive season. So that's exciting. But as always, guys, enjoy your weekend. We'll be talking over the weekend, so we'll be around so you can talk to us, chat to us, whatever, engage with us. Make sure you stay safe. But as always, because I started the show with the first word, these guys get the last word. So hit me with it, guys.
Okay, have a great week. Let's go, Dallas. And as always, Dallas forever, Philly for never.
Come on, Thursday night game. Let's slap down the Seahawks. Let's keep this winning run going. Go, Cowboys.